Why does James need to remind his audience to put what they've been taught into practice?
I can think of a number of reasons that James needs to encourage his audience, his readership, to put into practice what they've been taught. James grew up in the first century in Palestine, and he would have been aware that there were many, many teachers at the time who were hypocritical in what they taught and then how they acted. His brother Jesus Christ pointed that out numerous times to the Pharisees. And so James is well aware that you could be a religious person, be teaching things or being taught things and not necessarily practicing them. I also think that James was well aware of his own personal experience. We don't know how much he heard his brother teach, but from James, he quotes from the material that we later find in the Sermon on the Mount quite a bit. So I think he heard his brother teach. So he'd been taught, but he hadn't responded in faith or in action to that until after the resurrection. So he knew from personal experience you could have a head knowledge and not necessarily then be putting into practice. And I assume that James, as a good teacher of the church, observed people's personal reaction to the teaching that was occurring in the church, and recognizing sometimes the hardness of the human heart, sometimes just the inability of humans to remember what they've been taught and to act on it, being a little inconsistent, that he felt it was important to remind them that it wasn't enough to have just heard it or even to have learnt it, but then to take that and to put it into practice.
One of the themes of the whole book of James is faith is seen in what we do in response. And in chapter 1, verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive ourselves. Do what it says. And then he gives this great analogy. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. And the way he describes the law there, and even doing the law, is that it's a law of freedom. And we need to continue in that law. We might think that following the law or doing the word is a form of slavery. But the way he describes it is that's where freedom is really found, so that we're not enslaved by other things. And it's not enough just to know about the word or what the word says. Again, an indicator of what's really in our hearts is whether we do the word or not. If it's just in our heads, then it hasn't sunk down far enough. It has to be seen in what we do.
There are several important reasons why James needs to exhort Christians to live out their life and to take what Jesus has taught and to put it into practice in their real lives. And one of these reasons, a very practical reason that all believers have to deal with is, even though I have been declared righteous by God and I've received the Holy Spirit and I've been called to be one of God's people, I still struggle with sin. And this is a part of our life and our reality until Jesus comes again, till the resurrection of the dead on the last day, is I must struggle with sin. And so I need to be exhorted. I need to be reminded of what God wants me to do. And so this is a very important point that every Christian in this age needs to deal with. It's good that James and Paul and Jesus and the other apostles exhort us to live a certain way, because we struggle with sin and we need to be reminded of this. Another reason is something many of us may forget about, but those who are new to the faith, who have accepted the gospel that Jesus has come to save them from sin, death, the power of Satan, they believe in him, they're now incorporated into the people of God, they may not know the very next day what it is God wants them to do. And so in the New Testament, we find the apostles and James and the other writers exhorting Christians to live a certain way. It could well be because many of them don't know what is a God-pleasing life. Yeah, we've got the law written in our heart, but that's not always so clear. So to hear externally God's chosen teachers telling us how we should respond, that's a great value. There are certain things that show that you're a Christian. The law itself has a value, especially when it tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves. And so James is actually addressing a problem that I think has peaked up in the history of the church repeatedly, and it's out there in Christianity today, this idea that of cheap grace, gospel reductionism. The only thing that's true is the message of salvation, so I can dismiss any of the moral demands of God that I find uncomfortable at this moment. And to this, James is saying, absolutely not. This is one of the main contributions of this book in the New Testament, is he's the guy who forcefully says, to a cheap grace understanding of the gospel, no way. This is not what Christianity is about.
James regards it as rather indispensable to genuine faith that faith be put into practice. There is a poisonous toxin that has always been in the church of what Bonhoeffer called easy believism. That is this notion that if you somehow just think that certain doctrines are true, or if you follow certain formulas or utter certain liturgies, and that at the end of the day your ethical life doesn't matter, that's not a genuine faith at all, and in fact will result in condemnation despite your conforming to certain ideas or you giving assent to certain thoughts. Jesus actually attacks that same thing. He lays it in pretty hard on the Pharisees for being hypocrites. A hypocrite is somebody who is pretending to hold to certain things, but it doesn't actually affect his life. And it's worth remembering that most hypocrites do not know that they are hypocrites. They have somehow deceived themselves. And by the way, self-deceit is another very interesting thing that James talks about. But hypocrites have deceived themselves into thinking that they are believers when actually they aren't. The key, James says, is whether you actually act out that faith in what you do. A genuine faith, says James over and over again in chapter 2, is active. It's not something that just nods the head and goes to sleep. In fact, acknowledging certain things to be true is something that even demons do, James says. But what good does that do them? Because even though they believe in the sense of they acknowledge that there are certain things that are true, they're still demons. They're still under condemnation. And James even goes so far as to say that that kind of faith is like a corpse. He uses the word that would be offensive to a Jewish reader and probably even Gentile readers in the same way that we kind of have an averse reaction to a corpse. We wouldn't want to have anything to do with it. And that's what James says a faith that doesn't actually act out that faith is like. It's completely dead. It has no value whatsoever. In fact, it's repulsive.